We're continuing our study. We're studying doctrine. Today, of course, as we saw, anthropology. It's the study of man. If you've heard of that, even in Iowa, sometimes when they have a road going through or something, they have a group go out and make sure that no humans live there, usually Native Americans. But we've looked at theology proper, and so they have the anthropology people go and look, you know, hey, what do you find? We've studied theology proper, Christology, pneumatology, and bibliology last week. All of those we could have certainly spent a lot more time on. We could have spent a lot more time on those, but we're doing a doctrinal study, so we don't dig in as much. We're kind of just sort of building a here's why we believe what we believe. And some of that, even, you know, I was thinking every week, I think, well, you should have did another one in that one. You know, bibliology would have been a good one to look at, just sort of some history stuff and how we flesh out how we have the translations that we have and things like that. Been very interesting. But moving on to the study of man today, and hopefully this will be very engaging for you and interesting and thoughtful. This is a very important, probably not as important as theology proper, but very important. The nature of man. How do we think about ourselves? And very contemporary as well. I think a fair amount of what our culture is confused about we could help a lot if we just understood man, right? Now, I have a bias, but I would say that our culture could really benefit from a strong dose of good biblical doctrine, all right, at every level, quite honestly. And so that's why we're looking through it. You know, we need it, right? We need reminded of good biblical doctrine. Well, let's pray together, and we will discuss man, and I mean mankind, just in case you're wondering, men and women, mankind. But let's pray. Well, thank you, God, once again for the beauty and richness of your word, that you haven't left us here to figure out who we are, who you are, how the world works, what's right and wrong. You've given us clear instructions in your word, very detailed. People say, not so. Wow, they haven't looked into it. You have really communicated well, clearly, and very helpfully, and we can know you, we can know who we are, we can know right from wrong, we can know how to be right with you. And I just pray that you'd help us as we dig into this topic today. I think this can be a little complicated, confusing certainly in our culture, but helpful for us. And I pray that this would be a fruitful time for us as we think about the doctrine of man and who we are, and to really give us some confidence as we live. And pray to that end. In Jesus' name, amen. Mankind seems silly, but it's been my entire life where you have to clarify that. Maybe feels more so now, but we mean all of men, men and women. There was a push there a dozen years ago, to stop saying, well, he did this when you're writing, because you really mean, or they did that, you know. And start using female pronouns, which is fine if you want to do that. And some writers do that, just sort of mix it up to try to. But that's a little confusing sometimes. But you have to clarify what we mean is people. We just mean all people, mankind, men and women, mankind, human beings. So why should we have a doctrine of man? It would seem like, you know, doctrine of God. I get that, right? God is other. He's amazing. He's spirit. We better think about it and say what we mean. But why man? We're all people, right? I mean, if you're a person and you don't know what a person is, okay, wait a minute, right? I mean, you know, you are a person. Look at yourself, right? But it's actually not quite that simple, is it? It should be. I'll give you that. It should be. But it's not. We are all human, but do we really know who we are? Do we? I mean, if you think about it, if you think in a larger context of our culture, I would say that we don't have a clue. We just don't. And I think that's really come to the front this year. A few issues. Creation versus evolution, that's largely an anthropology issue, or at least anthropology is big in that one, okay? Or in creation, we'll see, and we'll say often this half hour, that that we are, humans are made in the image of God, created by God specifically. Where evolution would say, a bunch of goo magically turned into you. You know, that's a radically different position there, you see? You're either goo to you, or you're wonderfully and fearfully made by your Creator in His image for a purpose, all right? Hey, that's an anthropology issue right there, you see? What is man? Who are you, right? Are you a monkey that somehow found the right banana and turned into a guy? Or are you wonderfully made by your Creator in His image for a purpose, His special creation? It's an anthropology issue. The dichotomy, trichotomy issue, yes, I had to put that in there. That gets asked at nearly every ordination council because people want to talk about that. To me, that's my opinion, I'm sorry. It's one of the silliest discussions that you could have. We'll see that today as we look at nature of man. But that's a big one. People talk about it. Are you mind, body, and spirit? Are you mind and spirit? What's the makeup? There's another position that's not as prevalent of multifaceted. People have made up mind, body, spirit, intellect, and they have this long list of what people are and separate us all out. Spoiler for a few minutes from now, I think it doesn't matter. You're a person. All right? And I used to say, when people want to argue about it, I have never had a spirit come to my office for counseling, or a body with no spirit. Never had to do it. I always have actual people come, right? We're made that way, body and spirit. And so, but it's out there, and it's something you have to think about. Gender issues. I'm not trying to be terribly mouthy. I'm always going to be a little mouthy, but we don't even know what a man and a woman is in our culture anymore. Yeah. Well, you're a man. Don't you tell me I'm a man. I'm a they. I'm a or whatever. You know, it's just gotten crazy now. And so what do we do about that? Do we know what a man and a woman are? We do, actually. Right? It's not terribly complicated. You have a set of chromosomes that tell you whether you're a man or a woman. Right? You see? God made us that way. It's an anthropology issue, actually. Isn't that interesting? Your culture has anthropology problems. The nature of mankind, you see? And so we need to talk about it. We need to be sure on these things. But I feel a certain way. Well, I feel a lot of ways, too, that aren't necessarily true. And we need to get our untrue feelings in line with what God says. You see, that's the issue. You got to get our untrue feelings. That's part of the issue of life. Everybody's got opinions. That's why we study doctrine. Everybody's got opinions. What does the Creator say? That's all that matters, right? Reality doesn't magically morph to my opinions because I don't like something. You see? It just doesn't. We have to figure out what reality is and get ourselves in line with that, okay? Sin and sinfulness is a huge anthropology issue. Are you a sinner? Are you born in sin, or are you basically good? Nature of man, do you see? See, now look about it. Everything you do in life as it relates to your Creator flows out of your opinion of what man is. If you're basically good, then you're going to work off of that premise. You're basically good, and you need to figure some stuff out, and you need to get a little better. But if you know that you are a fallen creature, a created person that's fallen, you're going to work off of that. Okay, I need help, right? You see? So this is actually a very important topic, very important. What is the nature of man? It's not just we're all human, right? We're all human, I got to figure, yes, I know myself, right? Not true. Man, then. We're going to look at a few things here. Man is a created being. We are a created being. We are not evolved or any other crazy thing, however. I don't know what other crazy ideas there are, but God said, Let us make man in our image. Okay, we're going to come back to this passage, of course, often this during this time, but God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth and everything that has a breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning on the sixth day. So we're created. We're made specifically by our Creator. And that's an important, of course, critically important part of understanding who you are. I've wrestled with the whole idea of evolution my entire life, even when we had really no context to think about who God is and those kind of things. And it's depressing. I have no idea why the world finds the idea of evolution compelling. It's actually absurd. It's completely absurd. Jacob, when he was really young, probably 7, brought home a book from the library, and it talked about the Big Bang getting us going, and then it had a statement, and there was a kid's book, and it said, what was before the Big Bang then? And their answer, it's just silly to think about those things. That was literally their answer to a kid trying to figure out who he was and where he was from. Yeah, you're right. It is silly. Your theory is absurd. Nothing did something, and all of a sudden, magically, here we are. In the beginning, God created. God created you. You didn't come here by chance. Who you are is not meaningless. You are made specifically, we're going to see, specifically by your Creator. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Never forget that, amen? Never forget that. You are God's special creation, we will also see. God formed Adam out of the ground, and that comes back later, of course, as we see Genesis 3, from the dust you came, to the dust you shall go. But God formed Adam from the dust, breathed into his nostrils, and this is why you see, man became a living creature. When man became a living creature, he was a physical person with a spirit, okay? That's when man became man. That's why I think the dichotomy, trichotomy argument is irrelevant. It's nothing we need to parse out. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. While he slept, took one of his ribs, closed up the place of his flesh, the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Now, I'd say this before we move on, just so we're clear. There is zero reason to take either of these passages as anything but literal. These are literal passages, exactly what God literally did when he created. This is not a metaphor. There's nothing in the text that indicates, hey, I'm going to tell you a story, or this is a metaphor or a parable. This is a literal account of God creating mankind, and we're going to see here in a minute that these are the only two people that God made, and that's who we are all descended from. But created being, created Eve from one of Adam's ribs, created Adam, and there's a specific purpose that we're not going to dive into, why God did it exactly like this, but he made us literally on the sixth day. We were created, both literal accounts. Now hear this, no evolutionary process was used. There's no evidence of that. There's no evidence that any evolutionary process was used. In fact, no evolutionary process could have been used because Eve is the mother of all living, all right? Couldn't have been. People want to infer it in the text, read it into the text, twist it around, make a day a million years or whatever. It just doesn't make any sense. Man is God's special creation, distinct from all of God's other creations. We're distinct. We're special. We're made in his image specifically for specific purposes. We are made, like I said, we come back to this passage. We are made in the image of God. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And the R in there, you'll remember from what? Our study on theology proper, right? The Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are involved in the creation process here. Let's make man in our image. So even in our fallen state, we are image bearers. What does that mean? We bear the image of God. It's a confusing thing to think through, and there's a lot of books that have been written on it. I want to simplify it for us and just think about it. What did God do? He made someone like him. You see, think about that. A dog is not like him, right? An elephant is not like him. A whale, a tree is not like him. We bear his image. We are like him. When you see us, you see a bit of God. Think about that. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? We bear his likeness. We are like him. We bear his image. Made in the image of God, image bearers. And even in our fallen state, we are still image bearers. Now, the image is marred, right? We're not exactly like him. We never were exactly like him, but we're not as much like him as we were at first, because we were sinless then. But we are like him with a marred image of God because we have sinned. It is the image of God that gives man his or our worth. We get our worth because we are image bearers, because we are like God. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people, the tongue, who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing, my brothers. These things ought not to be so. Think about that. Have you ever thought about this? Let's get a little bit personal here. Your ungodly speech is an anthropology problem. Have you ever thought about that? Isn't it? Huh? Your ungodly speech is an anthropology problem. You are not remembering that the person you are cursing is made in the image of God. Huh? Oh, come on. Wake up a little bit here. We got to do some calisthenics this morning. That's good stuff, all right? Isn't that true? Think about it. You're not seeing that person rightly. You're seeing that person as less than they are, and you're sinning against that person who is made in the likeness of your Creator. So very important stuff. It gives us our worth. We have intrinsic or inherent worth because we are made in the image of the Creator. Nothing else in creation is made in the image of the Creator. Stunning. That's one of the reasons the devil hates us, quite honestly. It's one of the reasons. Because we have this value. We're made in the image of God. Made in God's image, even though we are fallen, we still carry his image. It's marred, but we carry his image. Man is both physical and spiritual. We saw that earlier as well. God made Adam and breathed into him and gave him body and spirit. Where am I up to here? I got to find my place here. Oh, I passed that one. Let me go back that one. This one here tells us about some of our jobs. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that one, but God made us to represent him. Notice this passage. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air and livestock, and the earth and every creeping thing. And that's expanded in Genesis as well. But we're made in God's image, and we are made to do his will here, right? That's why work is good, right? God gave us work to do. We're supposed to keep this earth. We'll come back to this idea and tend it, one of the things that we have to do here. God's representative on earth, and this is the 9:6. Whoever sheds the blood of man by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. You see, we're made in God's image. We represent him here. We do what God wants us to do, and it's not okay for us to be murdering each other. We're made in the image of God. We represent him. Man is both physical and spiritual. The Lord God formed the man of the dust, physical, breathed into his nostrils the breath of air. It became a living being. And again, that's why we don't need to figure out what parts are in a man. It's unnecessary. We just are people. People are physical and spiritual both at the same time. That's what makes us people. Man is an eternal being. And what I mean by that, to clarify, and this we have to clarify, that we have a beginning, but we have no end. So we're similar to God in that we'll have no end, but we're not exactly like God. He's the only one that is from everlasting to everlasting. He's the only one that's truly eternal. But once people have their beginning, we never have an end. Common error in people, I think, well, I'm going to be annihilated, or when you're dead, you're dust, or whatever. It's just not true. Every person has an eternal existence. You either will exist for eternity after you die in a very real place called hell, apart from everything that is good and apart from the presence of God, or you will, in suffering punishment, or you will exist eternally in God's presence in a very real place we call heaven. It's actually eventually going to be the new heavens and earth that we're going to live on. But we're eternal. We're not. We have no end. We're not going to end. And that's what makes figuring life out pretty important. Amen? My dad used to say to the guys at the farmer's place, "You're dead a long time." That's a good point, ain't it? You better get it figured out, right? You're eternal. You're eternal. You will have no end. Now, Adam and Eve, as we brought this one up, Adam and Eve were created perfect in every way. They were created sinless. Another very important part of anthropology. God saw everything that he had made and was very good. Very good. So, originally, humans were perfect. Sure wish we could have pulled that off, don't you? I really do. I the older I get so sick of sin and the brokenness of this world and the ugliness and the horrible, just the simple stuff just drives you crazy. But it was perfection. People were perfect. Image of God was not marred in them. Sinless. As I said, we're all descended then from these two people that God created, Adam and Eve. God blessed them, said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." That sounds like we're descended from them. This one's even better. Man, the man, Adam, called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. There are some errant doctrine out there that said, well, God didn't just make them. He made them, but he also made a whole bunch of other people. It makes more sense. And then he chose not to tell us about that, which is weird. But no, she's the mother of all living. Everyone is descended from Adam and Eve, and then from Noah and his family. After that, we're also descended because of the worldwide flood. We're created, and wonderful. Wonderful to remember that God created us specifically and for a specific purpose in his image. Now, our purpose then, why man? Right? Why? Why specifically? And why specifically create us? Well, there's a lot that we could say on this, but just for survey, a couple of things. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Well, that's a good one for what's your purpose, right? This is your whole duty right here. Fear God, keep his commandments. And get to know the Lord. That's really our purpose. Our purpose is to, in a richer and greater way every day, know God more. That's it. That's really your purpose. Now, under that, there's a lot of stuff, right? There's a lot of stuff that we do, but that's what we're here for. We're here to learn, to know God. And maybe for clarity, from Genesis, I would say, to know God, to make him known, right? So what he made us for? He walked with God in the cool of the day. God immediately told Adam even some things that he didn't tell Eve. Make him known. Know God, make him known. This is the whole duty of man. Fear God, keep his commandments. God made man to glorify himself. We see that purpose that we lost in Romans 1. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. This is the sort of don't do this one, right? Okay, this is the path you shouldn't be on. Who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. What can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. His invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they're without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. You see, they didn't give him glory. They were unthankful. They became futile in their thinking. Their foolish hearts were darkened. God made us to honor him. What's the whole end of man? Fear God, keep his commandments. We're made to bring him glory. We're made to know God, and by that knowledge of him, give him maximum glory. He's the only one worth or worthy of our glory, giving him the glory. His mercy, love, holiness, and justice and glory should be on display. They will be on display for all of eternity, and it's our job to be a part of that. And job sometimes sounds a little negative. It's our privilege. Amen? Think about it. We get to give the Creator glory for all of eternity. That's amazing. Made to keep, tend, and rule God's creation. That'll get you in trouble saying that one today. Amen? Seems like the whole world's idea is we need to wipe out the people. And I love the outdoors, and I love conservation. I was involved with conservation growing up. I love those things. That's wise, you know. For one thing, if you like fishing, don't kill them all, right? You know, it makes common sense, right? Keep his creation. But you know what I don't like? I don't like when we worship the creation to the detriment of human beings. I don't like when we say we don't need this much food because in America we have plenty of food, and we don't think, hey, those guys in Africa, they need that, right? You know, you see, we have to be careful. Man is God's special creation, all right? We have to be careful of how we think about those kind of issues in this world, what's really going on there. But we were made to tend, keep, and rule God's creation. The world, or this creation, is our stewardship, and the language is to tend and subdue it in Genesis. He gave them dominion. We're dominion havers. And I love what Steve Vier says. The dominion. Sometimes the creation has dominion over you. Right? The creation has dominion over you. And you need to have dominion over the creation. Get those things in control. Don't let those things rule you. You know, the stuff of this world. Easy way to think about that. Well, I got to have the biggest, next, the greatest. I got to have money. I got to have this. Well, maybe the creation has dominion over you there. You need to be a dominion haver. We're made to tend, keep, and rule God's creation. Work is good. God gave us jobs to keep every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created a man in the image of God. He created him. Bless them. Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds in the heaven, everything, living thing that moves on the earth. We're supposed to. That's why I don't like it when people don't trim their trees. Isn't that weird? Drives me crazy. Trim your tree. Have some dominion over your stuff. You know, it's not a bush, it's a tree. Make it into a tree. You see, we're supposed to do those kind of things. Enjoy those kind of things. Have dominion. Make the earth, you know, use the earth. And don't just ruin it. Okay, right? It's wrong for Christians to ruin God's creation. Have some wisdom. Take care of it. That's our job. Man, what happened to us? Well, we fell in sin. We were made perfect, given job, the ability to do those jobs. And I think, it's my opinion again, I think that we think we're great because we're modern. I think we're dumber. I honestly do. I don't think we have nearly the intellect that the original people had. They did things that we could never do, and they didn't have the context and the computers and all the junk, right? We just have had time, you see. We've built on things. But I don't think we have the intellectual ability and skills that some of the people back in the old days had. Sin does that. That's just the natural outcome of sin. It makes you dumb. It really does. It mars, it destroys. Man fell in sin. God made us with a will. God gave us, mankind, a choice to obey or reject him. God is still doing that today. He gives us a lot of choices. That's why we see a lot of the ugly in the world. We're making bad choices, okay? Some people call that free will. I don't. But we do have choices from God. God gave Adam one rule or law to obey. Don't eat the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. Don't do it, Adam. And Adam exercised that choice God gave him and made a bad choice. Adam and Eve ate the fruit, disobeyed God. They chose to disobey God. They rejected God's good rule in their lives, and they fell. We call it they fell. They fell from their position of purity into a position of sin. So, as men, then we are no longer perfect. And this one tells us that we're sinners by nature. We inherit sin from our parents, Adam and Eve. And then we sin through choice. We want to do it because of our sin nature. We fell in sin. All men are sinners by nature and sinners by choice. Again, we're not basically good. If you hear the argument, well, no baby has ever murdered anyone, right? I wonder if people have said that ever really ever had one, ever had a kid, right? I've seen plenty of kids murder. It's called sinful anger. All right? Jesus told us that. If you're angry with your brother without a cause, it's the same as murder. Or to you, it's murder. All right? We don't have to teach kids that that's yours and you better make sure that your brother doesn't use it. Right? We are all born in sin. We're not basically good. And it doesn't mean we're as bad as we could be at all. Right? Because we're not. And it doesn't mean that we're all equally sinful in one sense. Some people are pros at it. Right? Right? It just means that we are all condemned. We are all sinners. And what the pervasiveness of sin means that every part of us is sinful. Not that we're as sinful as we could be. We haven't, you know, maybe some of us haven't sought it as much. But every part of us, there's no part of us that's this little spark of good. We are all, we've all fallen. And that's how sin is. And now, if you're in Christ, and so, better not skip onto that one yet. We're no longer perfect, sinners by nature and choice, and sinners are condemned to an eternity in hell. It's just the reality. Again, we're just trying to figure out what the Bible says, not trying to make some opinions. Sinners deserve punishment. That's how law works, or should. How's that? Man needs a Savior. Amen. Right? And if we understand man right, we've got some big need. And we're in trouble. In a sense, you could say it's hopeless. We need a Savior. Well, God in His grace provided salvation through Jesus Christ. What does that have to do with anthropology? Well, man needs a Savior. But it's more than that. This is what's wonderful. Because think about this. Let's back up. Through one man, sin came into the world. Who is that? Adam. He's our representative, right? We're all descended from Adam. What do we need? Second Adam. We need the second Adam. The first Adam blew it. We need someone perfect. But we need a man. Right? Because we're man, men and women. We need a mankind to represent us and to do it perfectly. Our Savior has to be an actual person. Jesus became the second Adam, or our representative. He was perfect. And so we can look at Jesus to see what we were supposed to be. You see? We can look at Jesus to see what is a man, right? The world tell you, oh, a man is this, a man is that. No, no, no. Look at Jesus. That's a man right there. You see, that's what a man is supposed to look like. Jesus Christ, He is the true man, the second Adam. He died in our place, was buried, and raised from the dead. And by His sacrifice, we can be made right with God. I have a longer text here. I'm probably not going to, I know I'm not going to read it all. But this is the expansion of that. Just as sin came in the world through one man, through and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned, right? Adam, he failed us. And then just as that, Jesus Christ came so that all men could be redeemed. So we could be redeemed, so that we could have fixed in us what is broken and what is marred. And even it's just beautiful because we think about it. We look at Christ, and that's what a man is. We look at Christ, and that's who God is. In one package, He's the God-man. We become more like Christ, and what do? We become more like Christ. We're more like God. What's our purpose? Image bearers. You see, we start to, the marred image of God becomes purified. We know God. We become like God. We become like we were supposed to be. Amen. Our purpose is fixed. As people, though, we have what I would call a dual nature, because we're not in heaven yet. We're not in heaven. We're declared righteous because of Jesus. If you're in Christ, if you're born again, you're saved and spared from God's wrath. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And you're becoming more like Him, but you still carry the old man. We still have our legacy from Adam. We're not sinless or perfect until heaven. We are what you could call redeemed sinners. We're redeemed sinners. We're still sinners. And we have this constant warfare that Paul says in Romans 7. You know, I don't even do what I want to do, he says. You know, I do the bad that I should. I say I don't want to do that, and then I do it. Right? What's wrong with me? And I love the ending of this. You know, wretched man that I am, right? What am I going to do about this? Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, my flesh. I serve the law of sin. As I grow, I serve the law of God more. I am more like Christ. But we do have this dual nature. It's important to remember. It's why we struggle, right? Because we're not in heaven yet. We're born again, we know Christ, we're becoming like him, but we carry the old man with us, and the old man, it gets us. It's got some power, right? You build up those habits and things. It's not good. But the point is, our Savior has restored our purpose. He's restored our purpose. Purpose restored. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Isn't that cool? I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. Maybe I'm the only one that this is fun for, but think about this. Your purpose is an anthropology issue, right? Your purpose has been restored in Christ now, and now you can represent him well, and now you have the ministry of reconciliation, what you were here for, to know God and make him known. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's all tied together. Our purpose has been restored now. It's so wonderful. Think about how awful the world would be if God had not got involved and came and rescued us. We would have no purpose in this world. We could never do what we were made to do. Now we can. How awesome is that? We were made for a relationship with God. They walked with God in the cool of the day. That's restored in Christ. We are no longer his enemy. Now we are his friend. We were made to glorify God. Now we can actually bring him glory instead of just being vessels of wrath, right? We were made to enjoy God. Now we can. Now we do. He's precious to us, right? The world, they don't enjoy God. They hate him, right? You see, in Christ, your purpose is restored. We were made to stewards God's creation. And now we can use the creation to do God's will instead of serving ourselves, okay? You see, restored. Instead of destroying God's creation, serving ourselves, we use God's creation to be a blessing, to other people and to put God's glory on display. Now we can represent God well instead of just running the opposite way and acting nothing like the one we were made to look like. Now we can be like him. We can represent him well. We can do his will and show people who God is. We can do that in Christ. The message, the image of God is still marred by sin, but in Christ we become like Christ. And people should see Jesus in you. They should. They should. Don't you love when Jesus said that? Hey, show us the Father. Look at me, you see the Father. We should be able to say something similar, shouldn't we? You want to know who Jesus is? Take a look at me. I'll show you who Jesus is. And you'll, of course, explain my... The image of Jesus is still marred by sin in me, but you can see a lot of Jesus in me because he has redeemed me and made me new. And so now, the application for us, then what do? Let's live like God made us to live. Amen? Isn't it wonderful? We've been given the opportunity, given the privilege. Let's do it. Let's live the way God made us or intended us to live. Let's pray. Thank you, God, so much for this wonderful study. And just a reminder of what a blessing and how special it is to be a person. That you would go to such lengths and give us such a special privilege to be made like you. And then left us here to rule this vast, amazingly created world. And then to make you known and then to grow in knowing you every day. Wow. And I pray that we'd be encouraged today and that we would do a good job in this mission that you've put us on. And just we need your help and ask for your help. And just looking forward to hearing and giving testimony of all the great things you do with us. In Jesus' name, amen.